Gemini said, I've had many conversations with folks who think that soundproofing a room requires ripping out the drywall or spending a fortune on specialized acoustic foam that looks like a recording studio. But when you're standing in a room and you can hear every vibration of the lawnmower outside or the television in the next room, what you're really looking for is a way to reclaim your peace without emptying your bank account. I want to walk you through how we can dampen those sounds using things you might already have, or simple materials you can pick up at any local hardware store. It's all about understanding how sound moves, which is a lot like how water moves. If there's a gap, the sound will find it. And if a surface is hard and flat, the sound will bounce right off it and keep ringing. We're going to focus on the three pillars of keeping things quiet, which are mass, damping, and sealing the gaps. You might be thinking that a few blankets on the wall will solve the problem. And while that's a start, it's not the whole story. I remember one of the first times I tried to soundproof a small home office for a friend. I went out and bought the cheapest egg carton style foam I could find and glued it to every square inch of the walls. I stepped back, proud of how professional it looked, only to realize that while the room didn't echo as much, we could still hear his neighbor's dog barking just as clearly as before. That was a big lesson for me. I had managed to improve the acoustics inside the room, but I hadn't done a thing to actually stop the sound from coming through the walls. It taught me that soundproofing and sound treatment are two different animals. To stop the sound from entering, we need weight and we need to plug the holes. Before we start moving furniture or buying materials, I want you to take a second and just listen to the room. Close your eyes and try to pinpoint exactly where the noise is coming from. Most of the time, you'll find it's leaking through the doorframe, the window seals, or even the electrical outlets. If you feel a draft of air, you can bet that sound is riding right along with it. Once we've identified those weak points, we can start our preparation. I always like to start by gathering a few specific items. You'll want some weather stripping, which is that peel and stick foam or rubber tape, and a tube of acoustic sealant if you can find it, though a high-quality silicone caulk works in a pinch for small cracks. We're also going to look at heavy fabrics, like moving blankets or even thick blackout curtains, because these have the density we need to actually absorb those vibrations. Once we have our plan, the first thing we're going to tackle is the door. In most houses, interior doors are hollow, which means they act like a drum and actually amplify the sound passing through them. If you knock on your door and it sounds like a wooden box, it's hollow. Since we're on a budget and probably not looking to replace the whole door with a solid core one, we're going to focus on the perimeter. I want you to take that weather stripping and run it along the inside of the door frame where the door hits the stop. When you close the door, you should feel a slight bit of resistance. That resistance tells you that the rubber is compressing and creating a true seal. If you can still see light coming through the bottom of the door, that's a massive highway for sound. I like to use a heavy door sweep or even a weighted fabric draft stopper that sits right against the floor. It's a simple fix, but the difference in the feel of the room's silence is immediate. Now we move to the windows. Glass is thin and it vibrates easily, which is why the sound of a car driving by feels like it's right in the room with you. If you have older windows, check the edges for any gaps where the trim meets the wall. This is where I use the sealant. I run a thin, steady bead along those cracks, smoothing it out with a damp finger so it disappears into the woodwork. To handle the glass itself, we aren't going to replace the panes. Instead, we're going to use the heaviest curtains you can find. Look for ones labeled as thermal or blackout, as these usually have multiple layers of fabric. When you hang them, make sure they overlap the window frame by a few inches on all sides. When you pull them shut, you'll notice the room suddenly feels much deader, which is exactly what we want. The walls are usually the biggest challenge, but we can handle them by adding what I call functional mass. Hard, bare walls are your enemy, because they reflect sound waves back and forth like a ping pong ball. Instead of buying expensive acoustic panels, we can use bookshelves. If you line a wall with bookshelves and fill them with books of varying sizes, you're creating a massive, dense barrier that is also irregular in shape. This breaks up the sound waves and stops them from bouncing. If you don't have bookshelves, this is where those moving blankets come in. They are heavy, quilted, and surprisingly effective. You can hang them behind a decorative tapestry, so the room still looks like a home and not a warehouse. As you're doing this, you'll feel the air in the room start to change. It feels thicker, more insulated, and much more private. One often overlooked area is the floor, especially if you have hardwoods or tile. Just like the walls, a hard floor is a reflection point. I always suggest a thick area rug. And here's the pro tip. Get a high-quality rug pad to go under it. The rug pad is usually made of dense felt or rubber, and it adds that extra layer of damping that stops vibrations from traveling through the floorboards. When you walk across it, you shouldn't hear that sharp clack of your heels. It should be a dull, soft thud. That's the sound of energy being absorbed rather than reflected. After we've addressed the big surfaces, we look at the small things that can sabotage all our hard work. Electrical outlets are essentially holes cut right through your insulation. You can buy small foam gaskets that fit right behind the plastic outlet cover. It only takes a screwdriver and a few minutes, but it's one more hole we're plugging. If you have a vent in the room, sound will travel through the ductwork easily. While we can't block the air entirely, we can place a heavy screen or a piece of furniture slightly in front of it to deflect the direct path of the sound. Once everything is in place, I want you to stand in the center of the room and just take it in. You'll notice that the hum of the refrigerator or the distant sound of traffic has faded into the background. It won't be as silent as a vacuum, because houses are built to breathe, but the edge will be gone. You've successfully turned a vibrating, echoing box into a sanctuary by simply understanding how to redirect and absorb energy. The best part is that you haven't touched a power saw or spent a month's salary to do it. You've used your hands and a little bit of common sense to fix a problem that many people think is unsolvable. As we wrap this up, take a look around and see if there are any spots we missed. Maybe a small gap in the corner or a rug that could be shifted a few inches. This process is all about layering. Every small adjustment we made, the weather stripping, the heavy curtains, the bookshelves, all work together to create a cumulative effect. It's a satisfying feeling, knowing you've mastered your environment with a few simple tools and some smart choices.